Sunshine Valley Presbyterian Church. Good to see everybody today. Thank you all for coming out on this beautiful fall day. I think we're on borrowed time here, but I'm not going to complain because we've really been very, very lucky with the fall season and the beautiful colors that we've had to enjoy this year, so enjoy them while we can. Just a couple quick announcements. As you all know, today's a very special day in our church, and we're very happy to know that we will be ordaining this afternoon the almost pastor Reverend Kristen Moreland. So we're very happy to have her join us. And we hope that you will all come back for that service at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We also are very proud, second only to Kristen, but those of you who have been around for a while know that we're very proud of this building and the church history. And we have a lot of people to thank for things that they have done here in the building this week to get us ready to show off ourselves as we ordain Kristen. So I know some names, and I'm going to name some names, but I'm sure that there are many unnamed. And so thanks to everyone who has contributed. Thanks to Roy Weckerly for the fresh paint on the front doors. I don't know if you noticed that when you came in today, but they have been painted. Thanks to Peggy Jo, who has cleaned the sanctuary and made it very presentable for the congregation this afternoon, as well as us this morning. Thanks to Carol, who has been doing some private tailoring and interior decorating in Fellowship Hall this morning, so thanks for that. And there is a ghost or a fairy or a combination of ghosts and fairies, or I'm not really sure, who set up tables in Fellowship Hall for today's dinner, and we thank them. We thought we knew who it was, and the answer was check the cameras, so when you get a chance, if you could let us know who did that, we would be very happy to thank them personally. So I just want to, again, thank everybody if there's anybody I missed, and hope that we will see you all later this afternoon.
That's all I have.
Okay. I have a few more announcements that don't have anything to do with me. But I do want to, I'm so appreciative of you guys. You're amazing, and you'll hear more about that later in service. But we do need greeters and bell ringers. And that anybody can do it. You just need to like stand by the door, and you have to smile. And you have to say hello, good morning, and maybe hand someone a bulletin. If they're new, maybe let them know where the bathrooms are, things like that. So we just need a couple of people to be at the door every Sunday to just be that friendly face that I know who you are. And so if you could sign up, there's a sign up in the back, or you can get in touch with Allison in the office, or you can tell me. I also wanted to let you know some sad news that Janice Wakely passed earlier this week, and funeral arrangements have been made at Perman Funeral Home for Tuesday, November 1st. Visitation starts at 10, and the funeral will begin at 11. There is also an ecumenical Thanksgiving Eve service that I will be participating in. I would love it if you would participate. Don't have to, but so there's an ecumenical Thanksgiving Eve service at Bethlehem Lutheran Church Wednesday the 23rd, the day before Thanksgiving, at 7:30 p.m. right up the road on Mount Royal. So there's that. Any other announcements? Anything else I've forgotten? Okay. With that, let us gather together, proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. We have gathered today in search of reformation. We want to reform ourselves, our church, and our society. We stand fearless at the edge of change, for God is in the midst of us, and we shall not be moved. Be still and know that God is God. God is our rock and our redeemer. Let us rise in body or spirit to join in our opening hymn. That hymn is going to sound real familiar a little later today. Our God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Let us embrace this time of confession with honesty and humility. Join me in the prayer of confession. Loving God, you promise that all who faithfully confess to you will be forgiven and preserved from trouble. Trusting in your mercy, we acknowledge the harm that we have done and the good we have failed to do. Forgive us, we pray. Guide us in your truth and teach us the way to go, that we may love and serve you well. Hear the good news. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be like snow. For the Lord has promised to forgive all and to surround all with steadfast love, and to surround with steadfast love everyone who trusts in God. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Friends, let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the resurrections, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Please be seated for our choir's anthem. Thank you. Amen. I have a few prayer concerns today. Obviously, if we could pray for Janice Wakely's family in their time of loss, that would be great. A few weeks ago, Kathy Stege told us about Herschel and the fire, and they found out that his home really wasn't livable after that. So prayers for a search for a new home, and that goes quickly. Kathy is also thankful that a new, very expensive arthritis medication is being covered 100% by her health insurance plan, and that's just such a great blessing for her and for a lot of other people. She also asked for prayers for her coworker Cinnamon, who fractured her wrist and some tendon damage there, and is going to be having surgery on November 1st, and so surgery that goes well. Also, Sandy Letterly asked for prayers. She is starting chemotherapy tomorrow on Halloween. Spooky. So we ask for prayers for healing and for peace as she goes through these treatments. Let us now lift up all of our prayers for the world, the church, and one another. Loving God, we are so grateful that you call us by name, inviting us to abide with you. We thank you for the gift of community, for the connections that are made and strengthened in the body of Christ. We thank you for the gift of salvation today and every day. We thank you for meeting our needs and granting us pleasures. Thank you for the sycamore trees, the pollinating bees, and the foods that fill our bodies and delight our senses, for all the ways that we enjoy the abundance of your creation. We give you thanks. And we also recognize that so many in the world are not so well fed, that there are too many who go to sleep with empty stomachs in unsafe places, and our hearts grieve with those who are recovering from the devastation of natural disasters. We pray for all who struggle. Thank you for the gift of community, for family and loved ones, for the ways in which our lives are enriched by others. We offer a special thanks this All Saints Sunday for all of the saints who have preceded us in life or in death. We pray for those who are lonely, who have lost loved ones, or are experiencing estrangement. We pray for all who are caught in cycles of addiction and abuse. We pray for those experiencing mental health issues, and especially for those in crisis. Help us to learn to accompany and care for each other, grounded in God's unconditional love. We thank you for the peace and stability we enjoy that allow us to flourish and to grow. We pray for your peace and justice to overcome violence, oppression, injustice in our communities and throughout the world. May we be instruments of your peace and messengers of your love, following the example of Jesus. We entrust the prayers of our hearts and those known only to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive the debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit and join in our hymn of praise, or hymn of meditation, sorry, be still and know. Please be seated. In response for all that God has done for us, let us give and live generously by presenting our tithes and offerings. God, as we offer our gifts, we ask that you use them to strengthen the ministry of your church, to meet the needs in our community, and to bring us closer to reconciliation and restoration in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning's scripture reading is 2 Thessalonians 1:1-4 and 11-12. I, Paul, am writing this letter. Silas and Timothy join me in writing. We are sending this letter to you, the members of the church in Thessalonica. You belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Brothers and sisters, we should always thank God for you. That is only right, because your faith is growing more and more. We also thank God that the love you all have for one another is increasing. So among God's churches, we brag about the fact that you didn't give up easily. We brag about your faith in all the suffering and testing you are going through. Keeping this in mind, we never stop praying for you. Our God has chosen you. We pray that he will make you worthy of his choice. We pray he will make every good thing you want to do come true. We pray that he will do this by his power. We pray that he will make perfect all that you have done by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus will receive glory through what you have done. We also pray that you will receive glory through what he has done. We pray all these things in keeping with the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a reading of the word.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. God of light, open us now to hear and receive your word. By the power of your Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear, wisdom to understand, and courage to answer your call to us today. Amen. As I read this passage over and over, I couldn't help but to think of you, all of you, individually, collectively. This is a love letter to the congregation of Thessalonica from Paul and Silas and Timothy. It's a letter of both pride and encouragement for these people. And I could see myself writing a very similar letter to you. I mean, I probably wouldn't write it in quite this fashion. It's a little too ancient Mediterranean for me. I'm a little more of a modern gal. But Paul's typical letter outline includes, you know, this introduction. Who's writing? Who's being written to? A thanksgiving. Continuing concern for the church. An ethical exhortation or two or three. Instructions about church life. Closing greetings. And in this passage, we're really only getting the greeting and thanksgiving parts. And you might have noticed that this letter wasn't written by just one person, but three people, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And I'm sure that even more people would have written if they could have. But these were the people that the Thessalonians would have been the most familiar with. If it had just come from Paul, the importance of that collaborative nature of Christianity, of being Christians in community, might have been lost. These authors want to be an example to the Thessalonians of the power that joining together and being a united front has. And just in case the Thessalonians have forgotten, Paul reminds the congregation that they do indeed belong to God. Paul wishes them the grace and the peace of Christ. Paul acknowledges and commends the congregation that their faith in Christ and that their love for one another is increasing. It just keeps getting bigger. And he doesn't want that to stop. He wants it to continue to increase forever. See, the Thessalonians at this time, they were going through some really hard times. And we're not exactly sure of like the very specifics of what they were going through. But historically, we know that persecution of Christians at this time was rampant. And Paul is relieved that the church has survived any of these attacks, but he also wants to reassure and encourage them to continue standing firm in their faith. It's because of the way that they are bound together through faith and love that they have been able to withstand oppression from the outside world. It is their faith and love for one another that will help them to continue to endure further suffering. The Thessalonians have shown so much resilience that the authors brag about them. They brag to others how the Thessalonians don't give up. They brag to others how even though the Thessalonians have been tested through suffering, they have enduring faith. They keep showing up. They keep worshiping God. I know we're not very fond of bragging today, but you have to admit it feels real good when people say nice things about you. When someone tells you that they're proud of you, even if they tell other people that they're proud of you. They don't tell you, but they tell other people and you hear it from other people. I mean, yeah, the Thessalonians didn't endure suffering or come to love each other and depend on God just so that Paul and Timothy and Silas would say nice things about them. Congregation at Thessalonica was a source of pride and honor for Paul. Paul was proud of all of the communities that he helped establish. And he should have been. They've been examples for us, and we're still talking about them almost 2,000 years later. Paul, Silas, and Timothy are so, impressed with this congregation's faith. They have to commend them. They're not even just giving them an A for effort, good for trying, but for actually making improvements in their faith and their love for one another. Even though they're proud, maybe because they're proud, the authors let the Thessalonians know that they pray unceasingly for the congregation. They know that God has chosen this congregation as an example, and they want to make sure that the Thessalonians live up to it, that God will continue to make them worthy of being chosen. And these Thessalonians, they have so many ideas. They got ideas for mission and outreach and education and all sorts of things. All these ideas that are going to honor God and let more people know about Jesus. And Paul prays that God will make all of those things become successful. Because ultimately, whatever amazing things the Thessalonians do is going to glorify Christ. The overall message of this letter is telling us that we, as chosen individuals and as a chosen church, it tells us what we're meant to do. Love. Love is the guiding light of the church. God's love for us, our love for God, the love that we have for one another, that should be informing all of our interactions if we want to be a successful community of faith. When love is at the base of every decision that we make, we are honoring God. This letter to the Thessalonians is timeless, and I found it especially applicable to Glenshaw Valley. So I tried my hand at a little rewrite. Now, Arlie, don't get mad at me. Arlie was upset that I misquoted the Bible because in Hebrews it doesn't actually literally say autumn leaves. Jesus doesn't.
Pulling towards the beautiful.
Okay, here we go. I, Kristen, am writing this letter to you, the members of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. You, collectively and individually, belong to our triune God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. May you all be given grace and peace through Christ. I know you don't always feel it, but the wider community thanks God for this church. Your faith is continually growing. I see the ways that you love God and one another. Writing letters, making phone calls, chores around the church and for each other. Undoubtedly, you all do so much more that I am completely unaware of. And you have been through some hard times as a congregation and as individuals. And I know you felt tested, but you haven't given up. And each obstacle that you have faced has only made you trust God more and love and care for each other more. You have become resilient, determined, tenacious. I am so very thankful for you, and I admire you so very much. I talk about Glenshaw Valley every chance I get. I brag about how you use the buildings throughout the week and the way that you welcome visitors, I boast about the ways that you forgive one another when mistakes are made. I talk about the ways that you support one another when someone is going through a hard time. How faithfully you pray for this church, both in Thanksgiving and for its success. And you know what? I'm always praying for you too. God has chosen you. God has chosen you, Glenshaw Valley. Individually and collectively. Glenshaw Valley survives and looks towards thriving because you have been chosen by God. God notices the faith that spills out the doors of this building. I also pray that God will make you worthy of this choice. Let's show God that we're worthy of being chosen. God's going to provide all of the gifts, all of the resources, all of the knowledge that we need. We just have to accept it and follow through. God knows that you want to do good things for one another, for this church, for this neighborhood. So let's keep praying that God will continue to support our good things and stretch us to think outside of the box. That God will point us towards the good things that we haven't even thought of yet. I pray that the Holy Spirit continues to send the grace of God and peace of Christ to Glenshaw Valley. Because when you succeed, Christ succeeds. When others see the love Glenshaw Valley shares and they want to be a part of it, Jesus wins. And you have been chosen to be a part of it all. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able for our closing hymn, Rock of Ages. Before we head out into the world, let me offer a blessing until I see you again in a few hours. Receive the abundant love and grace of God. Be worthy of God's choice by abundantly loving others, even when it's hard. The Holy Spirit accompanies you. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us today and always. Amen. Amen.